On to, before I introduce Roy Bieberfeld, we thank for his time and coming special basically just to address our tzibur. I wanted to just perhaps explain from the perspective of a Talmud what the impact of the Mashgiach was on the Olam HaTorah and the Talmidim during his time here, when, since he arrived in America 27 years ago, through the Mashgiach of Mishnah Gavoya, that there's mistama, nobody in this tkufa that had a larger impact on the Olam HaTorah than the Mashgiach. There's a lot of Rosh Yeshiva who have Talmidim, but there's very few people that have Talmidim, that the entire Olam HaTorah is their Talmidim. And at the time when the Mashgiach came, the Olam HaTorah was mamash, his tkufa was when the Olam in Lakewood and the Yeshiva was mamash exploding. When I came to Yeshiva, it was 4 years after Mashgiach came, and I came and it was still the one building on 6th Street and Beis Eliyahu, and the dining room was still downstairs in the basement. And during that time is when campuses opened and yeshivas and Bati Medrash, and the enrollment in yeshiva probably went triple, quadruple the amount. And the Mashgiach was the one that gave the Olam the direction, the Hashkafa, understanding, and the She'ifis of what it means to be a Ben Torah and how to live a life of a Ben Torah and a Hoyman a life. He was the only person that everybody wanted to know what he had to say. The Kanoim, the moderate, the Yeshivish, the moderate, everybody wanted to know what the Mashgiach had to say about something, and everybody listened. And I don't know if we have that anymore, that there's one person that his daya is the daya that was Dr. Mashgiach and them Inyan. We want to know what he has to say. You had the Masur from the greatest Bali Musar, Reli Lapian, and he had from the Stipler, and he had from the Rosh Shiva, the Rav Shach, and he was the Bali Masura, and he gave tremendous amount of direction and she'ifis to the Olam. You know, sometimes a person will say over a chiddush, like from the Stipler, Kilas Yaakov, amazing sefer, say over a chiddush from the Stipler. So they say, what's the chiddush? Everyone knows it. It's well known. Who do you think made it well known? It was written in the Stipler for 50 years already. That's how it's well known. It's his chiddush. There's a lot of things that became things that we're accustomed to that were the Mashgiach's chiddush. It was his ideas. His cook on certain things became the pashtus, how we look at it. So for my 10 plus years that I was in yeshiva, I was zoicha to hear basically every shmuz that Mashgiach would give. I learned by him in the house every week and was mekabel many, 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 many things from the Mashgiach, as was were many, many Talmidim. And what I would like to do, just for a few minutes, is explain from his Torah itself what he taught us and what he demanded of us, and see from certain things what his derech was in teaching and learning in Torah, what his derech in his hanhaga was, and the direction that he gave the Olam HaTorah. And if something I say sounds pasha, then remember the word I said about the Stipler. Could be that he made it pasha. So the first thing is that the godless that he had in taking out from the pashtus of Zachim, the pashtus of something, he could take out an unbelievable amicus. Just read it. Just read it. You may have never paid attention to it before, but if you read it, the pashtus, and he would just say over the pashtus, then it rings. It's like, oh, that's what it's saying. I just thought of this morning. Excuse me. Tefillah, for example, is very soydizdika Indian, and used to say in Mashgiach that it's in the Bria itself that you cannot get shefa of anything. The Kodesh Baruch Hu is not mashpia to you anything without tefillah. And that's the nature of the world is that way. And if that's the nature of the world, then there's a kasha. What about the animal kingdom? How do animals survive? So he said the pasuk says animals have to daven also. We said this morning. It says in the pasuk, a kfirim shoyagim latarif, ulavakesh me'el ochlam. Kfirim, lions, mevakshim, they try to find food, ulavakesh, and to ask from Hashem ochlam. So he said, the pasuk is telling you that when a lion is roaring after the animal, he's davening to Hashem, give me a tzlacha that I should succeed in capturing the animal. It's mefurish in the pasuk, levakesh, that an animal also has to daven. And from there, you see the clarity of what tefillah is, and you don't have to do more than read the pasuk, or hear the mashgiach tell you that that's what the pasuk is saying. He would always tell us that the pashtus of the Chazal means exactly what it says, and you would demand that a person should live based on exactly what Chazal are telling you. If Chazal say, you're not going to do it, and you don't believe in what Chazal are saying, you have to believe it, and if Chazal said it, it means what it says. So how could you not do it? Whatever Chazal would tell you, that's exactly what they're saying. And how could you not do it? If you're not doing it, it's cannot get their kfira. Don't believe what Chazal are saying. He would find for every matziv. The other thing was another nakuda was that we learned. Was that no matter what is going on in the world, you have to find what the Torah has to say about it. And there was a godless in being able to find exactly what the Torah has to say about every single matzav. For sure, in current events and world and what was going on in the world, and used to say that the achelik of the Ashgacha Pratis of something is if you heard about it. Not just that it happened. It happened as Ashgacha Pratis for the people that it happened to. And the people that heard about it, it's Ashgacha Pratis that you heard about it. It's not Muchach that you should have heard about it. If you heard about it, there's Ashgacha Pratis on that also. And therefore, you have to learn it up and you have to understand it. Remember after a Maisa that happened in the Yeshiva, there was a Maisa there was some noises, and then all of a sudden everyone thought that there was something, some attack, Chas v'Shalom, something going on, and everyone ran out. Everyone started running out of the Beis Medrash, basically. Everyone started running out, and people started tripping over each other. And the Maisa was nothing had happened. So he said, okay, nothing happened. Good. Baruch Hashem. So he said in the Shmuz that in the Toichacha it says, V'nastim v'ein roidev. V'nastim v'ein roidev. So what's the problem? Ein roidev. No. Instilling fear is an oynish also. Instilling fear in somebody for nothing is also an oynish. It's a chelik of the Toichacha. It's not that it's good for telling you this. There was a Maisa once. A horrible tragedy that there was a bachur that was nifter in the Beis Medrash. It was late at night, and it was nifter in the Beis Medrash. And he said over, the Mashgiach spoke, and he said from the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha that the Ramban says, the Mokam HaMishpat Shama HaResha, that a chelik of the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is where something happens. It's not just what happens, it's where it's happening. And that's a chiluk of the midah keneged midah, the Ramban says. And therefore, if it happened in the Beis Medrash, then bestamed is the problem in the base medrash, and from there all the signs that are in the base medrash, no cell phones allowed in the base medrash, all came from that. That he made a takana there at that shmooz that there should be no base, that there's have to be a tikkun in the base medrash. That if this happens in the base medrash, then the Ramban is telling us that this is the Ashkacha process. In other words, Chazal are not just saying things for no reason. Chazal are teaching us how to live life, how to look at life, and how to take out something from every situation. And this is over and over again. Before it was popular to speak about all the Torah of Yishmael, he was mechadish a lot of that. Those inyanim. I was there right after the 9/11 and all that. There's a lot of Torah in Yishmael and all these types of things. Now, there's a whole other area that he taught was the Hanhaga of a Ben Torah. And the Hanhaga of a Ben Torah, first of all, his Hanhaga of a Ben Torah demanded a certain Dehoibenkeit, a certain refinement, how a Ben Torah is supposed to act. And it was in many, many areas that he demanded and he taught the high level of Hanhaga of a Baal Mussar. Whether it was Inyanim had to do, and it was all from Chazal, and he was teaching it to us. In the Inyanim of Kedusha, in the Inyanim of Tznius, the famous Chavetz Chaim, that Chavetz Chaim says, "Vayimachanecha Kadosh." If there's ever a davar, then that's where the machanecha is not Kadosh. Veshav machrech, the Shechina leaves. This is a very well known thing, but I think when he said it was not very well known. That the Chavetz Chaim says that when there's a chasar of tznius, the Shechina leaves Chal Yisrael. And I don't think it was well known because after that shmooz, they passed out papers of the Chavetz Chaim in yeshiva. This is the words of the Chavetz Chaim that the Mashbiach spoke out last night, and it was a whole big tumult about this Chavetz Chaim. I think it's very well known now, but I don't think it was well known then. And the Indian that became also last year in the term of circumvention, they spoke about the chashivas of ladies, teachers, moras, and how important it is that we should get them to get be machshiv what the ladies do and teach. And he darshaned about this 16 years ago in yeshiva. No one really listened then, and I remember the whole shmooze, and it was word for word the shmooze that was given now, late 16 years ago, that he had already spoken about this, that if we don't treat the moras properly, no one's going to want to be moras and no one's going to be teachers. And he was very strict, he demanded a very high level of kedusha that he held was besakon if a person's not going to be in the proper atmosphere, and he would speak about that. He spoke about what does a person do to get entertainment? A Ben Torah. Entertainment, he didn't like that whole idea. And he had a Gemara. Gemara says, Asher Aisha Shalai Hola, Atzas Hashoim, Kim Batsaris Hashem Chavtsoi. The person goes. And to go watch different interesting things, etc. And he says, Chazal say you shouldn't do these things. Go to theaters and go to what he calls the circuses and these things. Why? And he said, why Mevin Lidei Bitul Torah? Luchar, it is Bitul Torah. Why does the Gemara say Dvar Malala Mevi'in Lidei Bitul Torah? And he said that what a Ben Torah has to be afraid of is not going to these things. Sometimes a person has to relax. They can't be pushed. They need time. So it's not Bitul Torah to relax, to appreciate something, to go something, do something. But when a person goes to something that takes over their mind, so it's mevi'elim de beit ha'Torah, because even when he's finished, he's mekusher with that thing. He's going to be thinking about it. I didn't know when I heard the shmuz that I was going to be saying it over in Florida, but I remember the shmuz. He says, "Well, they can't take you go. You take your child to Disneyland, and then what's going to happen when they come back to the cheder? They had a good time, good, but they come back to cheder. They're going to be thinking about Mickey Mouse." You're connecting them to something else. You've been connected to something else. It's not enough. Yeah, you have to sometimes go enjoy. But to create and foster an interest in something else, foster yourself a connection to something else, it's not just the time that you spent. It's mevi'elim lidei bitul Torah. So he demanded a certain hanhaga, the haimikad etznias, how a person spends their time, what a person's interested in. And this is how a ben Torah lives, and this is how a ben Torah acts. His understanding of Yomim Tovim and to take advantage of the time, the famous Mesiba by Purim by night, that now all yeshivas have, every yeshiva, they Purim night, Sidrei Limud, this is not the case. Until he was Machadish this Musig, that we have to, the Zmanim or Kodosh, with Sayyim Kippur, try to teach, learn a little bit from that also. And Chol HaMoed, he would talk about the Zmanim, how again, the Haimankeit of a Ben Torah, how he can, to live. These are all brand new Musagim, and he was Mechadish that, and he taught it, and he lived it as a refined a person, and he demanded all this from the Olam. And this is what I was, and of course, goes without saying, the internet where he saw that which other people didn't see, the danger. So that's what I was saying before, that during that kufa that he had the ear of the whole Olam HaTorah, and he brought up the musagim of everybody to understand these things that nobody would talk about and nobody demanded, and no one elevated the Olam the same way. So the hashpa that he had on the Yechid and the Tamidim and the whole Olam HaTorah is in kedugmasai, in the way he taught it, in the way he lived it, and the example that he set. And by discussing it, we should be zeicha maybe to grow in our emuna, grow in our musar, in our hanhaga. And the most important, Yisrael Hashem B'cha Espar, he would always say, the pride of a Ben Torah, to understand that we're the legion of Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're the ones that Kadosh Baruch Hu is proud of. We should continue to be proud of being a Ben Torah, and to continue steiging in the way that the Mashkiach taught and elevated us all. As Hashem, it should be an Iloi for his Nesham. As a close Talmud of the Shiva, it's a big kavod to call on a Rebbe Rebbe to give a perspective of a Talmud.
Rishus Yedidi, Rish Kaila Shlita, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi, Rishus Meishver Shlita, the whole tzibur here. Before I comment on what Rabbi Blezer said in his beautiful words, just be makdim to Gemara. Gemara tells us, Agra de Hespeda Deluya. Agrid despeda deluya, the schar that one gets for giving a hespid is deluya. Rashi of an art learns deluya means to bring out bechi, to bring out emotions from the tzibur. And the Reshiver Baron in the Sefer brings another pshat. Deluya is the lashon of doyle, to be doyle, as we know, doyle umashke. L'chera, both bechinas are correct. Just depends on the circumstance. B'shar shemeise muta lefonov, that's the time that Rashi is saying you have to bring out bechi. That's the time when the hesped is really from the heart. It's an emotional experience. But then after the kvura, when we're trying to gather together to try to gain insight and perspective, to try to learn from the grace of Nifter, at that time it's already a bechina coming really from more of an intellectual perspective, to be doyle umashke, miteirosei shor Rabbeinu Agodol, and hopefully la'acherim. And in that vein, I must openly compliment the Reish Kol of his words, I could be made, that indeed everything that Rabbi Blezer said over, it's not so true, and he was one of those Gevaldige Talmidim that shept so much from the Mashgiach Zatzal. To continue along in a similar idea, to open it up a little bit, to branch out, to see what we could take away. The truth is, the Mashgiach Zatzal was a Gavra Rabbah. It's Enkid Gmosai, Miyidin Lanut Murosai. We don't have someone like that. It's hard to even imagine that we'll have Rizayka to have someone like that again. He was a person who the Gedolim already saw greatness in him. As he once told me that he used to go into Rav Shach often, and Rav Shach would tell him, you stay here, all this dozens of people coming through with all of their issues and their questions and the etzes that they needed and the brokers that they were requesting. You stay here. He knew this is a person, he needs shimush from Moran Rav Shach. And it repeated itself by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, where he told the Mashgiach, you stay here, while people were coming in and asking Rabbi Yaakov his etzah, his bichas, says, you stay here. He was a younger man. He was a young man at that time. But they saw the godless. They saw how great he already was and the potential that he's going to be a managador. Indeed, that one of the many espedim that he gave for Rav Shach Zatzal, he gave in Lakewood, he gave in New York, he gave in Lakewood Minyan, in Tamim, in Terbadas, he went all over the place. They flew him out to Bnei Brak to give a hesped on Rav Shach. And in one hesped, he described Rav Shach, that Rav Shach was the Rosh Yeshiva of the Dor. Zoy Semeris, there are yeshivas, and the Rosh Yeshiva. And each Rosh Yeshiva has to worry about his Talmidim, the development of the Talmidim, the Shtaydi of the Talmidim. That's his job, Abada. Rosh Yeshivas who have a lot to do with the Talmidim, then even after the Talmidim leave the Yeshiva, they move on, they get married, they still come back to be Shoyaleitza. But that's their cadre of people that they're dealing with. A Rosh Yeshiva of a Dor means that he's dealing not only with his Talmidim, not only with his Yeshiva, but he's dealing with all B'nai Yeshivas, all B'nai Torah. And that's Taka, what captured the heart of Rav Shach Zatzal. He was worried and he was concerned about the welfare of the Steiging of all B'nai Torah. And that's what we could say about the Mashiach Zatzal. He was a Mashkiach of the Dor. He wasn't only a Mashkiach in Lakewood, and not only because Lakewood, obviously before that in Gateshead, but not only because Lakewood is the great center of Torah that it is. As Rabbi Blezer mentioned, that so many people flocked to hear him from all different places, and he went and he traveled. But one reason is because he had the concern of every Ben Teirah, Befrat the Bnei Teirah, the Bnei Yeshiva. and what he can do for Klal Yisrael. And it was both the Yochid and it was both the Tzibur. As a Dugma L'Dover, someone once came to the Rach Masrifka Rebbe and needed a yeshiva for his son. His son couldn't stay in America anymore. He had to go learn abroad. Where should he go to? So the Rach Masrifka Rebbe told him, you have to leave America. I would say you should go to Gateshead. Why Gateshead? I had one interaction with the Mashkiach of Gateshead. I was very impressed. That's where you should go learn. What was the interaction? Maisa Shoya Kakoya. There was a Bokra in the yeshiva who had to leave the yeshiva. Now, Anola felt he can't stay in the yeshiva anymore. But Matisyo Zatzali, he felt he didn't want to just call him the Bokra and say, Herzasu, you can't stay here anymore. So he thought, how could he save face for this Bokra? So he found out, who is this Bokra close to? He came from a Hasidisha family, this Bokra. Happens to be was close with the Rachmas Rivka Rebbe. So a few weeks later, this Bokra was going back to America. So Rav Matisyo phoned the Rebbe and said, do me a favor, when this Bokra is coming home, he's going to come. I've had to come into the Rebbe to say Shalom Aleichem. Ask him where he's learning, what he's doing. Tell him that Gates is not a good yeshiva for him. He should leave the yeshiva. So the Rebbe said, well, I'm going to tell him he's going to go onto the street. So no, tell him he should come speak to the Mashkiach of the yeshiva. He'll find the Gates of him already. And Kachava, that's what he did. The Rebbe told him, Gates is not such a good place for you. He came back to the yeshiva, went into the Matisyo. He says, okay, I say, all right, we'll find a different place for you. And the Bokra never knew that he was kicked out of the yeshiva. Mitzad Sheni, fast forward many years. The great event at Citi Field. And after come out a year of putting tremendous koiches into just getting the event to be. There was a lot of opposition against the idea, how much it's going to cost, if it should be done, how it should be done. Tremendous amount of opposition. But the Mashkiach persevered. He went through with it. And finally the day came, and at that time he was in a walker. He was using a walker. And he's coming into the event, and his oldest son of Yaakov Yehuda says, Daddy, what are you feeling right now? What's going through your mind? And Rav Matisyo Zatzal answered, he says, I'm hoping that there'll be at least enough of a Kiddush Hashem from this Maimid that'll be a kapora for all of the Bokrim was a Shoyna Rab Gefalim with technology. That's what he was hoping for. That at least they would be able to maybe pull them out a little bit. That's what his heart possessed. His heart was captured with the Yochid and with the Rabbi. And he was a Mashkiach of the Dor because he understood the Dor. Many times a person from a previous generation has different ideas, sees things differently, but he had such a finger on the pulse to know what Americana Bokrim need, Americana Yungalite need. He had such a pichus to know how to say things. I mentioned this in a different occasion, that he told me once, if he has, when he came to Lakewood, and he's working on a certain Indian. Indian, I remember now, was the whole sugi of an Alovim and an Ulvin, Shomin Chapasim, Veda Meshivin, Kedengstas. When did those Shmuzin come about? I only know it because I was going through a Shveret Kufa at some point in time, and I felt I was having Redifus. So it always, like the Rambam says, better be the Nirduf. Be the Nirduf. Better go away. So I spoke it over to Mashkiach Zatzal. Efshet should just be the Nirduf. Maybe I should walk away. And I made reference to the Shmuzin, that whole Marocha. A Shmuz wasn't just one Shmuz that we're going to deal with this topic this week. It was a build-up. From one week to the next. and you got a full picture of the Indian. So Matsyahu told me that, he says, those shmuzin he worked on in Gateshead, in the Tekufa, that Taki, he was being, someone was being raided of him. He felt like the Nirdif. And how did he deal with that situation? He went into the Indian. Be'in of Ba'imik. He went into the Indian. But that's a Gemara in a few places. And Elom and Elom, that's a Gemara in a few places. But he used the Rambam as the platform to develop the Indian. So he explained to me, he said, why did he do that? And in general, he said, if you find something in a Medrash from Mazogin, a Medrash says, stay in the Medrash, the Vri Chazal, and Mislamita, but also the Rambam said it. He says, I would use it from the Rambam. A Medrash, people could say, the Medrash, I'm not sure. Sometimes the Agada, you know, not, something's allegorical, you know, you never know. It's a local Maisa. A Rambam, stayed in Rambam, Azayid, is everything a local Maisa. The Pichas, he knew where to say things from, or when not to say things. You know what it's like to be a good speaker, that everybody wants to hear you, and you take your speech and you take out three quarters of it? Know about that? I'll tell you what he told me once. It was once by a shiva. He was sitting shiva for his sister. There wasn't a lot of people coming to the Menachem 11. It was a little bit, he was talking a little bit slower than. So I went to Menachem Mobile and I didn't know his sister, and figured I could talk about other things. So I asked him at this Indian about going to speak places. It's Mamish, L'Shem Shemayim. L'Shem Shemayim could be murder people. But that Indian, the Proteus, doesn't matter what I ask him exactly. So he says, it's true, but Mavesh, anytime you speak, there's always L'Shem Shemayim involved. That's Pasha. And he knew that, and that's what made him so effective. Because if we could say this, he was an Amala Mensch. You could talk to him about all different things, and he related to the person on that person's level. But he went through the same Zach. He knew all the Mishikasa that the Yetzihara takes us up with. He knew it all, but he dealt with it. But yet, times, the city field of Eld was a prime example of that. He was the one who was the miyasid of it all. He took along the Sklana Rebbe to be the shutif, and to get that whole Hasidic Shekhreiz involved also. But Lamai cigarette, it went on, if you can imagine, there were a lot of speeches over there. Not everybody went mamish to the time that they were given. So by the time, the Mashiach Zatzal's time came to speak, which he said he's going to be the last speaker. He has to let everybody else speak. It was Mamish very late. He took his speech and Mamish cut out three quarters of his speech. He said one Zayt, the Shalom, the Tefillah of the Shalom, and then tied it, shelled it to Sefer Achinuch. He had prepared a whole drosha for the 40,000 people that were there. Everything they didn't have extraneous things, everything that he felt the Elam has to hear in this moment. But not by the tzibur. At other times, very often in the shmooze, he would go over time. Because he was developing a thought, and then it came the time, he said, Neshuldix, we get the ribbit the tzait, but this is a victor gerikuda. He apologized, but he said, we have to go back. He knew the time to do that, but at that time, the tzibur felt it's not the right time, that's it, he's cutting out his drasha. What the Mashiach meant to those who were zeicha to gain from him and it's certainly not the same anymore. It's part of the reason why we're gathering to be maspid, and it's a pella how many aspedim there are, how many people were affected. Ibn Avelt in America, Feshtetzik in England, and Eretz Yisrael, tens of thousands of people came to the Levaya, and there's a Sfeidim going on, and we realized Taka, his broad reach, he was the Mashkiach of the ganze Dor, and people are feeling that. But to give over what he meant to the Talmidim and how he affected it, this is really what Reish Lakish Shlita was sharing with us before. That he changed a perspective of a whole door. He changed our perspective, the way we look at things, the way we approach a Shabbos and a Yom Tov. As a Duma, give another example. He used to say, there's something that we say every Friday night. I think Nusach Sfard and Nusach Ashkenaz say this thing. Both say it. If the Shemoneh Esrei and Leil Shabbos and the Mogen Oveis, yeah, we end about talking about Shabbos. What is it? What are we? We're an Am Medushne Oineg. So most of us never really thought what those words mean. What does that mean, Taka? And that's what he used to do. He used to mamish taichvet. He used to just translate the words. He says, we're an am medushne, we're a nation that's saturated with pleasure. We need to find pleasure other places. We have a Shabbos Kodesh. The problem is we think, well, it must be not Lamaisa because I don't feel it from a Shabbos. The problem is not with the Lamadishnaimik zone. The problem is with us. That we don't realize this is Divrei Chazal, and by him it was clear. Every word of Chazal was Emes Lamita. And when it was Emes Lamita, he was able to give it over with such a conviction, with such a boldness. This is Divrei Chazal. It's to be taken literally. We're Amadushnaimik. But he understood also that he can't take things for granted. I don't even think because he did his homework before he came to Lakewood after his tenure in Gates, said, well, let's see what this Olam knows. He understood this is what people have to hear. Poshet Teichwert. Remember, he started his Vadim, all different topics. When he started his Vadim, and Amuru to be talking before learning either Shara be talking. In Chavisavavis, or the Vadim Binyone, he wouldn't be talking. He says, first we have to translate the words. What is Emuna? What is we talking? Yeah, you have to faith, belief, trust, it. What are the words? What do the words mean? And we're not talking about an art scroll type. He said very often, art scroll. You make a spiel with that. When he wanted to develop and explain something, he said, well, let's see, but what does the art scroll say? The art scroll will only give one word. There's only a certain amount of space on the page. It could be one word. Right, Baruch, he said, Baruch, blessed. Blessed art thou. Blessed, what does blessed mean? What does it know what Baruch means? It developed with what the Rajbi explained, the Sefer HaChinuch, what it means. But in English, explain it. Emuna, what does Emuna mean, Taka? What does Bitochen mean? The difference between them, the faith and trust, what the Chilik is. But he didn't take it for granted. In a Vad, particularly sometimes in a shmooze, you're reading a portion of the Rashi. A Rashi, give you Stephen over to elementary school. And stone the Choshua Young Light. You translate the words. Read the words, translate what it means. Oh. Okay. Now, that's ground zero. Now we can start developing it. First we have to know what state. And that's what he did with everything. He did that with a Shabbos, he did that with a Yom Tov. Maybe we could say it over like this in what he meant to us Talmidim in Lakewood and those who were zeichet to hear him. His name was Rimatis Yochayim. And the Svarim and the Shmuzim are Manas Chayim. There's also Svarim and the Vadim, that's Manas Chelkoi. Manas Chayim. And that was his life. His whole life was a matnas chayim. His whole life was just a matana to others. He didn't ask for anything in return. He didn't ask for guilt. He didn't ask for covered. He didn't ask. It's one thing was very makbid about. In Rabbeinu Yonah's state, there's an isser lo sir de boy beforech. By an eved ivri, something that someone who has authority over somebody else, and if you ask the person to do you a favor, he can't say no because of your lordship over him. You're not, Rabbeinu Yonah says, the lav in the Torah. He says, I'm very careful about that. I've been the mashgiach at the yeshiva. So I'm very careful about asking people for a ride and getting him something. He's very careful, he doesn't want to go around that loud. And he didn't ask for things. When did he ask for something? He came to Philadelphia, we were there 3 times to have him in Philadelphia to speak on behalf of the Kohel. So one time I'm walking him out to the car, I said, Rebbe, that was a gewaltig talk, mamish the olim. So uplifted, they loved it, it's mamish beautiful. He says, okay, now you have your job. Call the Rebbetzin and tell her it was a good shmos. And he did the keseide. The keseide did that. And this I didn't hear from him, but someone said over that he explained that once. He says, this is ishtek yigufa. We're one unit. Said the Rebbe said in him are one. If I said a good shmooze, then she said a good shmooze. She has to know about it also. So gevaldige meise, and along those lines, Jasanta meise. When the Rogish of a going was nifter, so there was a shtickle din teira between the kehila that. He was the Rav over. He was the Rav over the Hasidish part of Dvinsk. Dvinsk, it may be even smaller than North Miami Beach. And the Hasidish Olam of Dvinsk was even smaller than that. So really his salary should have been commensurate to the size of the population of the Kehila. But since he was the Ragaj of a Goyim, he was such a Goyim, so Taka, his salary was much greater. Now that he was Nifter, so the B'nai Kehila said, okay, that's when the Rogat Shavu Gain, he was here and we had from him. But his Rebbe said about it, there's a certain fund that they give the Almana of the Rav, but like anyone else, an elder Rav. And they came to a Din Torah and they kicked it up all the way to the Supreme Court. They came to Reb Chaim Moser. Reb Chaim Moser says, not such a shayla. Eish is chover kechover. It's like you still have the Ragach of a guy. She gets the same salary as they were getting until now. And he, the Mashkiah Zatzal, that's the way he lived. And his ganze life was a matana. He gave away his time. He took mamish just the enough time that he needed to rest up, to take a breather, to go weiter, that's what he took. More than that, there was no couch in his house. No couch. He had just one big dining room. It was filled, packed by Vadim, by Friday night Chumash, Motzei Shabbos Chumash, the Vadim during the week. Purim, as you mentioned. There was no couch. There was no time just to rest on an easy chair. He was always giving. He was giving and giving. It was one big matana. And what was he giving? He was giving Chaim. He gave us Teres Chaim. He uplifted us in Teres. He gave us Ashkofas Achayim. He taught us that the mitzvahs that we do it so mitzvahs anoshim alumada. He brought it to life. He brought everything to life. He gave of himself, and he had developed really the time he had in Gateshead, 25, 30 years that he was in Gateshead, developed all of these yesodas, all of these shmuzin. By the time he gave to Lakewood, he was so busy with so many other things, with the Tzrachim and the Yochin and the Klal. But he had all of the Yesedis. And he gave it. He gave, his whole life was a Matmas Chayim. And some of the thing that he gave over most, the topic that he talked about most, was Emunah. By him, everything was the Bariyah. Everything was the Bariyah. And he gave over Emunah with a chlorkite. And that's Chiyas, Vetzadik Bemunosa Yichya. How else do you live without Emunah? Vetzadik Bemunosa Yichya. There's a lot more to say, but we have to keep to the time. We're not here just to bring out godless of the Mashiach Tzatzal, which that in itself, its own right, is an important task to do. It's the Kovod HaTorah demands it. But just to perhaps mention one idea that we could talk and be doyle. Agrid espeda deluya, to take something away that's lamaisa. Is godless in his Torah, in his chidushim, in his the way he analyzed divrei rishonim and chazal, is probably beyond us. But there's one thing that we find personally that from studying and listening and having such a close kesher for so many years, that always one thing that ran through everything, which is taka shayek to everybody, that's his menuchas hanefesh. He had unbelievable menuchas hanefesh. Not flustered, not phased. Remember, after a Shabbos in the house, Shabbos is relaxing, zmiris, light. Once already he came back from Meiriv, ready to make Avdolah, showing Meiriv and Yeshiva 72, then he comes home, the phone was already ringing. Both lines are ringing, knocks at the door already, this appointment coming, the next appointment coming, a flurry of activity starting, that's it, the week is beginning, let's go. Avdolah, slow Avdolah, Avdolah the same way, even Avdolah, same way Kiddush was on Friday night, finish Avdolah, Oiskalesh and Daner, everything, and then we move on, whatever has to be taken care of. The night is yet young. It would go into many hours into the night. But never to, but it's more than that. It's not stam in Hanhog. Simchas Yisrael, I'll just give you a Mara Mokim, it's kedai to look it up, the Chelek Aleph of Chochma Musar. He has two Maimorim Menuchas HaNefesh. Simchas Yisrael. And he says it's Klil Kol HaMailos. But it's not only stamina that hoga of the way the person walks, but it's bedaitai. Has to have menuchas hanefesh in his das. And that menuchas hanefesh by the Mashiach Zatzal was, I think, his ability to zero in on every issue that was at hand. Whether it was a personal issue by somebody, he was able to just sift through, move away all of the tuffle and get to the ikar. He was able to zero in and hone in on what the Nekuda is because of his clarity of mind. And particularly, like Simchas Yisrael says, the Maimer HaChacham, Ein Pizur Ke Pizur HaNefesh, V'Ein Menucha Ke Menuchas HaNefesh. No greater Miley says the Menuchas HaNefesh, to have things clear in the mind. And that's why he was able to draw out from the tremendous Bekiyas that he had, the Rechazal, the Yesedis, the Rishonim, and the Balei Musar, he had it all. It was all in a compartment, all clothed by him. When I asked the Mashiach Zatzal once, I said, how does the Mashiach always have this? He had the Shmaya, always say the right thing at a current event sitting, a hesped for some person, a bamis, always mamish the right thing. So he said, in all honesty, he says that the Shaila is really not what to say. The Shaila is what not to say. And this Tarti Mashmo, you say. He had so much there. Just had to pull out what had to be said and what not to say. Tremendous Menuchas HaNefesh. That Reb Simchas Yisrael says is such an important mila by a person. Eichla Yosim Ha'odom Kol Amoloi Alamida Shemenuchas HaNefesh. How could a person not take time to learn Menuchas HaNefesh? To be calm about situations, to be calm at different stages in life.
Uh,
Avada Meruchas Nefesh comes from a deep and klor emunah. The person lives with the Bari Yoylam, that it's not Keichi Beitzim Yodi, it's not me, it's not that I do anything, it's all the Bari Yoylam doing. When that's so klor, that then translates into Meruchas Nefesh. When he first started walking with his walker, I was there for a Shabbos, and I needed a sefer. I needed a certain marmokim, and he was in his office. And in his office, he has adjacent to his office another room, and he had more svarim over there. Boxes of svarim on the floor, and a svarim shrine. He says, on the third shelf over there, you'll find this, a kuzari, you'll find it over there. I went into the room. It's Friday night. It was a little dark. I couldn't find that. I said, Mashiach, I can't find it. He said, Yechiel, come, help me up. Help him up from the chair, gets up this walker, hobbles over to the other room, looks, someone moved around the svarim, okay, it's not there. The problem was, he was now a little stuck because there were boxes of svarim around, and he had this, I said, he was having trouble, I said, I'll move the svarim away. He says, nay. He says, I have to learn how to walk with this thing. That's my avodah now. So, painstakingly, did, back, forth, finished. It's a pretty good for a 3-point turn. That's what he says. He accepted every matzav. This is the matzav. Ad kedei kach, the walker sadly developed into a wheelchair, until the point that that's what he was going to be in a wheelchair. And Rabbi Yaakov Yehuda's son once came to him and says, Daddy, how are you so besimcha? You came to America for 20 years. You're running here, being taken over here, driven over here to New York and to other places and flying to places and speaking at every event. You're marbitz teira, tremendous amount, traveling all over the place. And now you're confined to a wheelchair. Very difficult to get around. The Harbatzis HaTeira was diminished tremendously. How are you so besimcha? And the Mashgiach answered him, Al pi Hashem Yiso, Al pi Hashem Yachana. When the Eibishter wants me to be Yiso, then I go. When he wants me Yachanu, then I'm Yachanu. Such a pashtus, of course. But he lived that way. He lived that way because he had such a Meruchas HaNefesh and living. Maybe we'll close with just sort of one picture, one blick of the Leben from the Mashgiach Zatzal. The Mishnah in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos tells us, "Have a mesunim badin, ve'amidu tamidim harbe, ve'asu sayog l'teira." A lot of Mishnayos and others we know. Sometimes you have the Drezer who it's talking about, the Rebbe, your Talmud, people. And of course, there's Pshatim on many different levels. But the Pashtus is, this Mishnah is talking about to a person who's a Daimon, a person who's a Rebbe, and be to Talmidim Arbe. And that was the Mashiach Zatzal's life. It was Mesunim Badin. He took everything. Let's see what it is. Let's messed us up. Let's touch it up. What is it? A simple dogma. Almost embarrassing a little bit. I was once dealing with an issue. I needed a yeshua. Parshas, many years ago, I needed a yeshua for something. I saw an advertisement that they're selling kisvei chassam sefer. Some people have them. They save them over years, and when they have to make chassid, they sell them. So I saw an advertisement, and it says, Mamish, a segul and a floor, you have tremendous segulas. I said, okay, it's a few thousand dollars, but maybe it's kedai. So I called up the Mashiach and said, Mashiach, I see this thing, I need this yeshua, maybe I should do that. I'm an enikol, because I'm safe. So maybe I should manage it. So here's this. So tell me, what is it a school of four? Oh, I didn't think about it that time. You know, you get so carried away. Does it say what it's a school of four? Is it for the Indian that you need it for? He had just a way of zeroing in on things to see what is it. He was Mesunim Badin. The Merukh HaSanefji was Mesunim Badin, a dear for everyone gained from its Eitz of Esushiyah. The Amidu Talmidim Arabi wasn't just Melamed Talmidim. He wasn't Melamed Talmidim, he just did give over Shmuzin. He was Maimed Talmidim. As Rabbi Blazer mentioned, he was very demanding in his Shmuzin, very demanding. But he put things over here, he put it up, and he showed us, he says, that's where you can be. That's where you should be. And we wanted to be there. He was Maimed Talmidim. He brought us up. He says, that's where you can be. And then B'Seif Yomov, he saw that there's a pirtza. There's a pirtza in Klal Yisrael. And it needed to be blocked and it needed to be fenced up. Ma'asu Sayog L'Torah. Ma'asu Sayog L'Torah, he went and he made that Sayog, he made that fence. And for the last 12 years of his life, and as we know, it's very famous, says the custom Zayn Levin. Everybody knows that already, he's famous. He knew he's starting up with the sun's going to start back with him. And he knew that. Until he got worse and worse. But that was a quick overview. It was Masuna Madin, Mamudatam in Harbe, and Masu Serglatera. Just end with one Maisa from Tov Shinayin Vov. A few years back, I went to visit, standing in his office, and on the wall of the office, someone made him a big picture of the Cinefield event. You see the whole crowd over there with the grass field in the middle, in the center. And I didn't say anything. The Mashiach looks, he says, I was at that event, and I'm looking at the field, and in my mind there was no doubt that a helicopter was going to come down and out would come Mashiach. Mashiach was also mentioned. He also felt so many people came together to be like him, to make a Kiddush Hashem, and he thought that's what it would be. And I said, Rebbe, why not Taka? The Eibishter felt it wasn't the time yet. Mitzvah Hashem Mishmizecha to that time very soon, to be able to be Mekabel Pnei, Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Meher of Yameinu Amen.